You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing well. Bear is here.
Yes, sir.
Marcus Young is here. Tucker Harlan is here. Find you somebody who's just as, you know, so glad to be a part of things as Tucker Harlan is. A smile, man. Great smile on this young man.
Got a great attitude.
We'll beat that out of him here in a couple of weeks, months.
Marcus used to come in here looking like that.
Yep. Look at Marcus. Look across the table, Tucker.
We beat him down.
That's your future. Beat it out of him. Marcus, are you
still hung
sober today?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Feeling good.
Good.
I'm alive. Don't worry, Tucker. They will beat it out of you soon.
But this they thing, I feel like I've been a staunch supporter of all things Marcus Young through the year.
Sometimes the callers, too, those when I mean they. Sometimes they remind
me
of
the callers are rude to you?
They remind me of things all the time.
Wow. Going after the call. It's bold strategy, Cotton.
So angry. So angry, this young man. I mean, just always coming on the air. Just the bile he spews.
Vitriol.
It really makes me uncomfortable. We also have a special in-studio guest here with us this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Mr. Fabulous himself, Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider in studio.
Yeah.
Better watch your step today, Butler.
Back like a bad habit.
Good to see you, my friend. How you been?
I've been good, you know? It's nice that the weather's changing. We're getting a lot of spring weather right now. It's good to see you guys. Obviously, Tennessee baseball wishes they could have had a little bit longer of a week in Alabama, but things are good.
Yeah.
Can't complain right now heading into the summer.
Yeah.
It's good to just have the summer back.
I did. I forgot my soundboard today. I feel naked without it. I was ready to hit the wah, wah, wah. So I'll have to do manual sound effects this afternoon. Sometimes those are better. But, Tennessee baseball, you know, we're going to talk about some of these regional projections coming up here in just a second. I guess the big local news today is Tennessee announces that they are sold out.
It's a final now.
Of season tickets for the upcoming season. The inventory of 70,500 season tickets has been purchased, shattering Banner Dan's goal of selling 61,000 season tickets in time for the season. He passes that easily, and for the first time in, I don't know, however long I can remember, the season tickets have been sold out.
I'll tell you this. This is only the second time in the last 22 years. Do you have any kind of guess as to when the last time Tennessee sold out season tickets for home games in Neyland?
2016.
Well, if it was 22 years ago, it would be 20.
Well, second time in the last 22 years. So I guess that was weird wording by Tennessee, but that's the way they put it in the press release.
It would be 2001, right?
Bear is correct. It is weird wording there. So I guess it's really only the second time in the last seven-ish years. But that is the way that Tennessee put it in the press release.
No, Rick, I remember it because I remember that was when I joined the show. And we were all stoked up at the end of that summer, 2016. We were all bought into Butch's BS, coming off that really strong 2015 year.
And it was. It was a very anticipated season, I think, just like the one going into this one. But, it says from them, it marks the second time in the past 22 seasons that UT has sold out of its football season ticket inventory, last doing so in August 2016. So, big accomplishment all the way around.
And it quickly went off the rails that year.
No, 2016 was good. 2016, I mean, it went off the rails at the end, but 2017 was the year of the...
Yeah, I think 2016 was when we knew by the end of 2016 that we were getting ready to be looking for a coach.
It ended very disappointingly, started very good. We were Hawaii 5-0. We were banging the drum. We were going down to Texas A&M, ready to rumble, and then Botch did the botch things, and well, the rest is history. But we're back, and hopefully this will be a better season for Tennessee. We are 100 days away precisely from the first home game for Tennessee in 2023. I think we're probably 93 days, I guess, away from the season opener against Virginia.
Oh, so it's not – okay. Because I saw that today, and I thought that was 100 days to the Virginia game.
Till the season opener.
Okay.
If you were listening yesterday, you would have heard Marcus Young say that we're – or no, was it Tucker? I want to give proper attribution to whichever one of you said it was 94 days until kickoff yesterday. That was Tucker.
Yeah.
Don't trying to steal his spotlight again, Marcus. I mean, good grief, man. Let the young man have his moment.
I sat here. I said nothing.
So, sold out, and just another example of the excitement surrounding this Tennessee football season. Rick, do you have an official record prediction? 9.5 seems to be kind of the settling point for most fans right now.
Yeah, I think initially I would lean towards 9 wins. I think that Alabama and Georgia are going to be tough, especially that Alabama game going back down to Tuscaloosa. They're going to have revenge on their mind. But then I think with this Tennessee team, just with some of the question marks around the team, you might factor in one more loss just somewhere in the schedule. And that's kind of what I do to get to 9-3. But who knows? I mean, by the time you get to fall camp, if that starts rolling around, if you have some good starts to the season, if you will, I think they could improve that number a little bit more. But I'll kind of sit around the 9 wins or so myself right now.
D1Baseball.com has released their latest Field of 64 projections. And no shock here, after their quick exit down in Hoover this week, the Baseball Vols listed as a number 2 seed in the Terre Haute Regional with host Indiana State. So,
but Indiana State's not really looking forward to that.
No, I mean, without knowing anything about their team, and quite frankly, I don't know much about any other teams in college baseball, and the non-conference teams anyway. Just on its surface, I feel like you'd rather go to Terre Haute and play Indiana State than you would to go down to Miami, which is the other big, you know, the other projection we've been seeing a lot lately.
Yeah, I think you certainly would. I think that's a little bit easier. I don't know, just matchups all around. But yeah, you're not going to play one of those big kind of juggernaut schools in their own territory. We've seen other teams try to do that against Tennessee, and I know Notre Dame was successful last year, but that's a difficult task. And I think you're right. I think moving that up to Terre Haute, it makes it a little bit of an easier route for Tennessee potentially.
I like that we're not going to be down there in tropical weather conditions. We don't do real well.
Well, we don't do well in the cold.
Well, we also don't do well in the rain.
They don't do well away from Knoxville.
Yeah.
Anything other than like between what, like 60 and 80.
Well, that's
sunny.
That's why it's such a bummer that Tennessee couldn't go down there and make a little run, make a little noise in Hoover's, because I think we all would have felt a lot better about their chances if we were hosting a regional next week as opposed to going on the road wherever they end up going.
Yeah, I absolutely think you're right there.
So we'll talk some college baseball this afternoon. Coming up here in just a few moments, the CGP, Christopher Gabriel, joins the festivities. Chris in Fresno will pop in, and we'll get his thoughts on the baseball situation. You've got the softball team starting their super regional tomorrow, Texas.
Man, they're hot.
The Lady Horns. The Lady Horns coming in. Well, yeah, I mean,
people are excited.
Yeah. Yeah, people are excited. I mean, is Tennessee and Texas a marquee matchup in a sport that is absolutely exploding? And you saw the news yesterday, and Tennessee's won the SEC All-Sports Trophy, and it's because of, you know, it's not just football and men's basketball that are doing well. In baseball, it's, you know, the softball program has been doing well for a while now, and it's good to see them back and contending for a trip to – is it Omaha? Did they play in Omaha too?
No, they play in Oklahoma. Is it Oklahoma City? Yeah.
There you go.
Which just so happens to be the home state of the team that wins it almost every damn year. Is messed up. Oklahoma softball.
They dominate that sport?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Well, they ought to move it around a little bit.
That's what I think.
Unfair advantage.
They ought to have it over there at you know, Karen's Field.
How did they get to Omaha has just become synonymous with college baseball. Yeah. Oklahoma City has locked in the women's tournament. Like, we missed an opportunity to make, you know, we've got the Women's Hall of Fame over there. The Women's Final Four should be played in Knoxville every single year. That's my opinion.
Just demand it.
Yeah.
Speak loud enough and maybe they'll have
now.
To do
the horse is out of the barn, but maybe if we'd been a little more forward-thinking back in the late 80s when Pat Summitt was blowing up. So, CGP coming up here in just a mere matter of moments on the show this afternoon. And I want to talk to him also about an article that Adam Sparks had in your Knoxville News Sentinel today about the forthcoming Neyland Entertainment District. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on this too, because I'm reading it was a great kind of breakdown of the thinking behind it, the timelines, what it's going to be, what inspired it. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this take shape coming up here. And because we've been talking on this show for years now about how the south end of the stadium has become an eyesore from the outside.
Yes.
And you know, the paint peeling, and it's just, and it's almost symbolic of the way the program was in until the past year or so, and now they're finally going to build it back up. I think it's interesting how that stuff coincides. But I'm reading through this, and I'm hearing about this hotel that they're going to build, and there's going to be a rooftop bar where you can look from the hotel into the stadium, and you're going to have this fan area on top of G10 with shops and gathering areas and all this stuff. And I'm reading it, and my first initial reaction, I think, is like most people's initial reaction is like, wow, that all sounds really cool.
Sure.
But I also found myself thinking as I read this thing today, I was like, you know what? Is it going to be cool? Or is it going to be just another corporate soul suck bringing the life out of college football? You know, we used to go over there and you'd sit on the metal bleachers. There's no Jumbotron. There's no music coming out of the PA. All you hear is the band. And we were all perfectly fine with it. And now we need more amenities. Everybody needs their own seat. You need more bathrooms, more concessions,
better concessions.
You need Wi-Fi. You need constant entertainment, videos playing, music, fireworks, light shows, all the stuff that the modern sports consumer demands. And I think there's two sides to it, and I think there's a delicate balance. Yeah, we all want to be more comfortable, but we also want, or at least I do, the main thing to be the main thing, which is we're going to a college football game to see the University of Tennessee play against a conference rival or whoever. And I just wonder, you know, is it going to be cool? I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to a Braves game with the missus this weekend. And
there you go.
I spent a small fortune this morning on tickets and hotel and all that stuff. And you're going down there, and you got the battery, and there's all sorts of stuff to do before and after the game. And it's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. But there is something to be said to Fulton County Stadium was a dump.
Yeah.
But you went in there. Some of my favorite memories of growing up, I have better memories there than I did at Turner Field. And Turner Field was a much nicer ballpark than Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, and I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe it's just your memories are better when you're younger and all that stuff, but I do wonder if Danny White and the powers that be will be able to strike that balance and walk that tightrope between, you know, not making it too much of a corporate, clinking wine glasses type vibe, still maintaining that thing that makes Southern college football such an exciting experience for generations.
I mean, he was able to do it with the Dan deck.
That was going to be my thought too.
But on the other hand, those elaborate boxes down there between the 30s.
The wine and cheese crowd, they don't go to
no.
They don't spend a lot of time in those nice seats they got down there.
And it affects, I think we saw it last year. It affects our home field advantage.
Prime real estate down there, and people are not in those seats very much, man, if you watch.
I agree. But I do think that, like, this off-seasons and these kind of plans are to do more so at the outside of Neyland Stadium. Last year did so much inside of the stadium with what y'all are talking about. But to me, I don't really feel like it necessarily changed the experience inside of the stadium. And it didn't change the attendance numbers either. You still look back at last season, Tennessee had the fifth highest average attendance in the entire country last year, sitting at just about 100,500 or so. So I think you had some of the biggest moments in Tennessee football history. I think that maybe there wasn't too much taken away despite a lot of things being added inside the stadium. I think it just matters what you're going for, and for a lot of people that can be different things.
Want to talk about it with you this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're going to take a quick time out. When we continue, the CGP, Christopher Gabriel, joins live from Fresno to help us break it down. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Challenge has been thrown down in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Rick's been back for what, 20 minutes? We're already throwing out challenges?
Underestimate me. Continue.
Fastest man at Fan Run, Russell.
That's what they say.
It's a good thing we're talking about golf, because you're going down, Butler.
Not a chance.
We go down to the White Claw Hard Seltzer. Well, the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I'm getting a sponsor cross-referencing going on here this afternoon. Let's bring in Christopher Gabriel from KMJ Fresno. CG, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, my man. I'm doing great. Did I hear you say that my guy Rick Butler is over there too?
Live and in the flesh. Say hello, Rick.
CG, not only am I here hanging out with the boys, but I'm getting challenged in the sport of golf at some point next week. So I'm taking shots in every direction. What do you think about it?
Well, first of all, they wouldn't be the guys that they are, the supreme host that they are, without taking shots. I would not be stupid enough, did I say that word, to ever challenge anybody in golf because I suck. But Rick, man, it's great to hear your voice, brother.
Yeah, man, it's great to hear yours too. I'm happy you were on the show.
Let the record show. I suck too. I'm just reasonably sure I'm better than Rick.
Hey, listen, Russ, when I come in this fall, I'm just assuming now, and forgive me for being so cavalier, that I'm going to co-host with you and Bear for the Georgia game. Let's just put that on the calendar now. If you want to do some golf, I'll drive the cart and I'll provide the beverages, but I'll watch.
We can take a look at that. We could also just take a look at Top Golf out
west.
Yeah,
that might be. Can have some drinks and some food right there.
Yeah.
Hey, what time is the Vols game in Hoover today? Never mind.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah, is Hoover part of the Alabama rainforest? Is it always raining there?
The last 2 years, it has been. I mean, it's the darndest thing I've ever seen. Now, longtime followers of the sport, because there's been this online conversation about, is it time to move the SEC tournament to an MLB park with a roof where you don't have this? And I've heard a lot of people who have been into this tournament long before Tennessee fans got interested in it the last 2 years say, this is an anomaly. This doesn't usually happen. Hoover is a special place, and it's fine. We just have to keep rolling with that.
Is Hoover, I mean, is it a special place, Russ?
I've heard some people say it's a dump. I think it's pretty cool because I feel like it's the just right size. My trepidation about taking it to an MLB park, Chris, would be you get 10,000 fans in there, which is a pretty good crowd and about what Hoover holds, and that's going to look like nothing. You're not going to have much of an atmosphere in a 40,000 seat major league stadium. So that's the only thing that's holding me back from it. The people who've been there to Hoover, and I don't know if you were you there last year, Rick?
No.
They say it's a real fun time and a great tradition that they've built down there.
Well, I'm with you. I don't ever want to see the SEC tournament in a major league ballpark because basically the reason that you just said that, you get 10,000-15,000 people in there and it's going to look like going to an Oakland A's game. I just, anything that we can get out of the state of Alabama, I'm in favor of.
How disappointing was it, by the way? You're there just north of the Bay Area, CG. How disappointing is it for the Bay Area to be losing the A's?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm actually east of the southeast of the Bay Area, but we're just a matter of hours away.
Directions are never my strong suit.
That's okay. You know, if I was north of the Bay Area, I would be having you guys come out every weekend because we'd be in Napa Valley. I'll tell you what. In all seriousness, this is a travesty, John. I've been on this story for about 5 years now. I've had former Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff on my program. I had Dave Cavill on my program, president. I've had broadcasters on. John Fisher is the owner of the A's, and he has never really wanted to keep the team in Oakland. That's why they've had fire sales. That's why you've seen a team that a couple of years ago against the White Sox looked great in the playoffs. They looked fantastic. You know, when they were moving forward, they looked like one of the really next wave of talented teams, but he has wanted from the get-go to move to Las Vegas. I know a lot of our mutual friends, a lot of folks down your way, were thinking that maybe the A's would come to Nashville. That was never going to happen. That was never in the plans. Portland was never in the plans. It's always been Las Vegas. The folks in the East Bay are furious. And I know that it seems weird because you see the attendance at night, but it's not always been that way, Russ, fellas. It's not always been that way. The Coliseum is not a great park, but that's a good fan base. It really is. The same folks that supported the Warriors for years, the Raiders for years, those are the same fans. But this owner has given a masterclass on how to basically destroy a franchise and then to make it just perfect. And I do mean perfect. You had Mark Davis, the Raiders owner in Las Vegas, saying, "I hope they stay the hell in Oakland because we don't want them here. They screwed us when we were there. We don't want them here." And if you saw the plans for their ballpark, Russ, what are they thinking? They're going to build a dome park. But that's the plan, which makes sense. But they're going to put 30,000 seats. 30,000, for heaven's sake. Las Vegas, they sell out for Aviators games, the AAA franchise. So, sorry, long answer. I think it's terrible. I mean, I'm not an A's fan, but I believe in the city of Oakland. The city of Oakland gets dumped on because they're across the bay from one of the world's great cities. But, the only team that's left there are the teams at Cal. And obviously, they're not moving. Although, if there was a university that would move because they thought it was unique, it would be Cal.
No, I was bummed to see it. I hate to see teams that have been there for a long time, like the A's have, leave. I hate seeing the Chargers in Los Angeles. I can't get used to that. And look, I'm all for expansion, and a team in Las Vegas makes a lot of sense. But I hate to see the A's, Oakland lose their team.
To put a button on what you just said, you hit the key word there. I had a very good friend of mine who is the program director of Las Vegas Sports Network. Keont Myers on last week. He heads up ESPN Las Vegas, Fox Sports Las Vegas, Raider Nation Radio there. And the fans overwhelmingly want an expansion franchise. And look, they only have to point down the street to the Vegas Golden Knights at what a franchise run right by an ownership and management team that care, how you do it. I mean, that franchise is phenomenal. And in just a short amount of years, look what they have done. And they're about ready to sweep the Dallas Stars out. You talk to folks there, they don't want the A's. They want an expansion franchise, and I'm afraid, at least right now, it doesn't appear that's going to happen.
Talking with Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. And CG, speaking of sports facilities and owners or managers who get it right, Danny White, the man with the Midas touch here in Knoxville, back-to-back all-sports championships. It was just announced yesterday. Tennessee wins that again. And very interesting piece in the Knoxville News Sentinel that I sent you earlier today. Our friend Adam Sparks wrote it about the Neyland Entertainment District that was announced a couple of weeks back. And reading through that and trying to visualize what that's going to look like, a hotel on the south side of the stadium. You and I have talked, CG, for years about what an eyesore the south side of the stadium has begun and become. And when we talk about fixing that up, I always picture, they just – put some brick around there, give it a good wash and fix it up a little bit. They're going to cover it up. You're not going to be able to see it with a hotel there and a new entertainment district. And I'm just wondering, CG, because we all read this and we think, wow, that all sounds really cool. That's going to be big. It's going to be huge. It's going to be unique. Is it going to be cool? Or do you think this could be one of those things that You know, do we lose a little bit of what makes Southern college football so unique? That non-corporate environment, that kind of just grassroots thing you get when the tailgates pop up and it just happens organically. Can they manufacture atmosphere for millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars at Neyland Stadium?
I'm not going to bury the lead, and then I'll give you my full thought. I think it's a phenomenal idea. And there's a number of reasons why, and I'll start with this. You know, as sports media guys like you and Rick and Bear and I are, you know, we tend to err on the cynical side. Something comes up like this kind of an idea, and we immediately go to the point that you just made, and I think it's a fair point that you're making. But I would go back a couple of years when Danny White was hired. Somebody came on your show that you know from California and immediately said, this guy's going to reinvigorate the entirety of Tennessee athletics. Most fans that we heard on your show and elsewhere said, I don't know if I like this idea. We've seen the results. Josh Heupel got hired. Another guy you know from California came on your show and was on board. I'm not the only one, but I was on board just feeling that it was the way to go. And I think you're hard-pressed to find anybody, save for maybe a couple of knuckleheads that live on Neptune, that think that Josh Heupel isn't fantastic. So we fast-forward to an idea like this. And what I think is happening here is Danny White is being Danny White. Danny White is a cutting-edge, thinking forward, or I should say forward-thinking, very proactive, progressive-minded athletic director in so much as you wait and see. Everybody in the Southeastern Conference, and when I say everybody, I'm talking about the major players when it comes to football in particular, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and so on. They're all going to be doing this. And you look at professional sports, you're hard-pressed now to find an NBA/NHL arena that doesn't have an entertainment complex. You go to what used to be Staples Center, Crypto.com Arena, that area down there where the Kings and Lakers play is absolutely fantastic. I mean, people don't think of Los Angeles as a great sports town. It really is. I mean, I'm not a fan of any LA team, but it really is. And that complex down there just heightens the excitement. So they have it at Wrigley. They have it close to you, the Braves. So for Tennessee football, I just saw today, I got a note today, and you probably did as well, that the Vols have completely sold out their season ticket allotment for this fall. And when this program is good, as we expect it to be for a good chunk of time now, we were bad long enough, it's going to be good now for quite a while. Any kind of entertainment complex is simply going to be an after-dinner drink. It's going to be the icing on the cake. It's going to be the cherry on the sundae and so on. It's not going to take away from people coming to the stadium. It's not going to take away people's desire to be in that stadium, unlike a lot of other sports where you're like, I'll just watch it on TV. No. Tennessee football, when it's rocking, you want to be there, and if you can't be there, because everybody who loves this football program and loves this team and loves its tradition, everybody can't be in the 101-915. So what's the next best thing? Well, maybe you're in the Vol Navy, but if you don't have a boat, well, maybe you're going to tailgate on campus. Or how about you go with thousands or hundreds, whatever it's going to be, of other Vols fans in a themed area where you can hear the roar of the crowd. You can see the fireworks going off. You can feel what's happening. I think it's a fabulous idea, and I think it's an idea that you're going to see colleges. A couple have already done it, but you're going to see SEC schools, Russ. They're all going to be doing this once this thing gets rolling.
100 days till the season opener for Tennessee, the home season opener, at Neyland Stadium against Austin Peay, 93 days until Tennessee kicks it off against Virginia. CG, switching gears back to baseball, softball. You know, look at these two teams right now, and I don't want to say they're heading in different directions because I still think the baseball team has tremendous potential, but it certainly feels like the vibes are a lot better around softball as they set to begin their super regional best of three series against Texas tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the ceiling for the two teams? How far can these squads take it?
Well, first of all, I always own stuff, as you know, and I'm going to just come right out and say I was wrong, and I apologize to Karen Weekly. I have been a very outspoken critic of her and Ralph. And then when Ralph retired, I was an outspoken critic of the university for keeping her because I felt like the game, the way it's played now by the big programs, by the Oklahomas, by UCLA, even though UCLA was upset at home by Grand Canyon and Liberty, by the Bamas and the Floridas and stuff, college softball has become about dominant pitching, big, just powerful pitchers, and long ball. And Karen and Ralph were playing small ball. You know, that Arizona game when they're in the championship series a couple years ago when the Vols, Lady Vols won that first game, and then they didn't score another run for the next two games. You're not going to win in today's softball by bunting runners over and, you know, slap hitting. Karen Weekly has brought in players that are big-time players. This program is back to where it should be. The ceiling here, I think they can get to Oklahoma City. I think they can get all the way to the championship round. I don't know that anybody's going to beat Oklahoma. That team right now, that program is just that far above everybody else. It's a lot like what Alabama looked like a couple of years ago in football. A lot of Alabama fans will still think they look that way. They don't. But I think that this program, you know, Texas is coming in, and I talked to a couple of fans through email, and they're like, oh, I don't know, Texas. Like, look, here's the deal. If the Lady Vols play the way they can play, they will steamroll Texas. I'm not knocking Texas, but this year, as good as Texas is, they are not in the same league as the Lady Vols. Now, if the Lady Vols, you know, pull a baseball, or, you know, happen with Notre Dame, then that's a different story. But I think the ceiling is getting to Oklahoma City, and they are as good as anybody, save for Oklahoma. As far as baseball goes, you know, the team that we saw in Hoover the other night against Texas A&M the other afternoon with the rain delayed, everything else, and you and I were talking off, you know, on text messages, that really was basically a representation of who we've watched all year. You look at the Vols at home, and they are a dominant force. They are powerful. They're fun to watch. They leave Knoxville. Who knows what you're going to get? Basically, we do know what we're going to get. We've gotten a team that rarely has gotten timely hitting, doesn't get as dominant of pitching performances as they usually have when they're in Knoxville. Bullpen hasn't been great. But am I giving up on this team? No. I still think, you know, maybe I'm just being an idiot. Maybe I'm being a homer. I still think wherever they land, they are not a team. They'll come in as a number two seed, more than likely. They're just not a team that anybody wants to see. I mean, this is not a Winthrop or Westchester College. This is not some second or third tier program coming in. This is a team that if they are on all cylinders, they can dominate a regional. The question, Russ, is I hate this phrase, but it's true. Which Tennessee Vols baseball team is going to show up? Is it going to be the one that has big hit, big bats, swagger, guys that go out on the mound and dominate, or is it going to be a team that's, you know, bottom of the second inning and they're already down 4-0?
CG, we will find out. We'll find out about the softball team starting tomorrow and the baseball team next week. It's going to be an interesting journey, an interesting ride to take. Before we let you out of here, my friend, you sent me this story earlier today. A man in Kentucky arrested after shooting his roommate in the buttocks, to quote Forrest Gump, over taking the last Hot Pocket. Now, Hot Pockets are a controversial food. CG, inspire a lot of passionate debate amongst people, and obviously they are it's a point of contention in Kentucky. What is your feeling on Hot Pocket? You know, is that worth shooting somebody over?
Well, I I'm a Second Amendment rights supporter. However, I do believe, you know, you have to be responsible as a gun owner, and I don't advocate shooting someone in the derriere over anything. But that's one issue. The other is talking about Hot Pockets. And this is a controversial food. It is something that will get people's passions aflame very quickly. Also, throw in the fact that this is in Kentucky. So that will immediately cloud someone's judgment. I have two daughters, as you know, 19 and 16 years old. I've had Hot Pockets here. And when either of them have said, Daddy, could I have one of those? we've had to have a discussion because I am very possessive about them. I think that we would need maybe, I don't know, maybe a little more background on the personal relationship of these roommates. But even though I don't advocate shooting someone in the buttocks over a Hot Pocket, I'm going to say, Russ, that I understand the emotion that's involved if somebody is stealing someone's Hot Pocket. And I understand how an abducted Hot Pocket can lead someone down a very dark path.
CG, I want to know more about this. You know, you stockpiling Hot Pockets away from your children. Are these breakfast Hot Pockets? Are the pepperoni pizza
CG,
ones?
CG, this is Rick doesn't understand. This is total dad stuff. Bear and I have talked about this before. There's not a dad listening to this show right now who doesn't hide food from their kids.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, guys. I've got three of those Heath flavored Klondike like ice cream bread. Oh, they're incredible.
You gotta choose your spots carefully.
They are hidden in the freezer
because your kids will find them, CG, and they won't ask. They'll just take.
You're right.
So
Rick,
which ones do you go with? No, I'm not a parent. I will say that.
That's ball game right there, my friend. Because my daughters are like squirrels. They're scavengers, and if I don't hide the things that I love the most. Oh, especially the younger one. She will take it and she will flash it in my face and smile as she runs away.
A taunt.
Yeah.
Nerve.
A taunt.
Oh. The nerve.
Our family's move is
he's a trash talker when it comes to food. So yeah, you guys are right. You have to, when you have your favorite items, I will put it in a pantry behind five other boxes. And I'll suddenly start hearing like, and I'll be like, what, Cadence, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. Nothing. Say, are you looking for the macadamia nut?
Oh man, yeah. You got to be careful, man. Those kiddos, they are hungry. They take without asking. The entitlement of this generation, CG. It's an outrage. Yeah. I can't imagine taking my old man's ice cream. He would. No.
It's an outrage, especially the younger one. Both of them, but especially the younger one. She can eat like Shaquille O'Neal or Refrigerator Perry and not gain an ounce.
Oh, the joys of being young.
Oh, man. Well, yep. You just tell them the next time, CG. You say, hey, you're lucky we are related. You're lucky we're kin because in Kentucky, a guy shot somebody over exactly what you're doing right now.
In the buttocks.
Yeah. And it's the Hot Pocket Syndrome. I understand it.
CG, we appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon.
All right, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Love you guys. Go Vols and Lady Vols.
The great Christopher Gabriel at CG Program. KMJ Fresno. Go follow him on Twitter, Vol fans, at CG Program. The Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Check out Big Orange Phillies, 6625 Manorville Pike in Halls. They'll have the softball games on this weekend if you're looking for a place to watch. This is a hot, hard ticket. Man,
how much is a hot ticket?
Oh,
how much are they going?
That's a good question. We could look that up.
Let's look it up during the break.
I'm sure it's over $100 a ticket.
I'm telling you, man,
because there's just not many tickets, man. Well, I mean, what does that place hold? Like 2,000 or 3,000 fans?
I'm not sure. I've never been. I've never been over there.
It's really nice.
But yeah. I'll watch it.
They might have to start expanding that place. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell, Bear, Rick, Marcus, Tucker, all cruising with you. Christopher Gabriel on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Bear, what did you learn?
CG likes Hot Pockets, which kind of surprised me.
For such a culinary guy, I'm not going to say he's like a food snob, but he likes his food. Comes from a restaurant family.
Yeah.
It does seem like kind of a... what's the word I'm looking for?
He's a foodie.
No, but the Hot Pocket for him seems kind of low class.
I'll tell you what, okay?
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can. But if you see interviews with, I've definitely seen it with like Anthony Bourdain and a lot of the like big time like chefs.
They like Hot Pockets?
Those guys all, it's one thing usually. But everybody's got some kind of trash food they like. And I can't remember. I think it was Bourdain talked about it.
Well, we put the poll in the field. Are Hot Pockets good eating? 45 votes cast at @Russell_Smith right now. 62.2% of the audience says certainly not. So far, very early, 1% of precincts reporting, but not a lot of Hot Pocket fans out there.
I will admit to having a vicious addiction when they first came out. It was like the Philly steak one. I didn't like the pepper. I didn't like the pizza flavor.
Well, to me, I put Hot Pockets in that class of food. It's like the cheap ramen noodles in a package that you used to get. Those are perfectly okay to eat in your late teens, early 20s. But once you get a big boy job and you can afford real food, you stop eating that stuff.
Yeah, because it's horrible for you.
Well, it's just not very good. I don't
know. Totally the most processed food you can put in your mouth.
The other issue is that they are like lava when you get them.
Oh, that was the other thing. Many a burned tongue.
Who's
on a
eating a Hot Pocket without hurting themselves or injuring themselves in some fashion?
There's a lot of drawbacks to the Hot Pocket. But as far as the food hiding goes, I mean, everybody does it, I feel like.
865-546-8200. Really, all the great conversation we had about the Oakland A's moving to Las Vegas, the Neyland Entertainment District, the future of the baseball and the softball program. Your takeaway is CG likes Hot Pockets.
I mean,
that's what you were
wanting to relate to. Stuff, but almost all of it because, you know, CG and I we're close to the same age. And he's already put it better than I could. About all those topics, I feel the same way he does. I think it's a shame that the Oakland Athletics are not going to be in Oakland anymore. I hate seeing these teams move around. It's garbage. I hate new stadiums. What's wrong? And instead of spending $3 billion on some other stadium, why not spend $1 billion and refurbish these historic stadiums, man?
The lack of a new stadium is what is ultimately driving the A's to Las Vegas. They had plans for a beautiful new ballpark.
I'm sure they did.
Down there. And I don't think there was any saving the Oakland Coliseum. That place sucks.
Well, no. But, and unfortunately, the fine citizens of Oakland are kind of similar to the fine citizens of Knoxville. They're not really looking to pay for anything for somebody build these stadiums for rich people.
Minor note, and I'm not pressing the alarm, but I did read a story in the News Sentinel yesterday. The ongoing budget fight in Washington is directly impacting the construction of the new Smoky Stadium downtown. They've basically put
no kidding.
The source who was working with the bond board and everything on it said, look, it's going to happen. Like, we're not, the project is not in danger, but they are pushing the pause button to wait to see because it's something to do with interest rates and all this stuff. But
that almost feels like the sports equivalent of like the writer's strike almost. It's like, yeah, these TV shows and these movies they're going to happen eventually, but you might have a couple of hiccups on the way there because of miscommunication at the top of the levels.
Jason on Twitter says, every Christmas season I hide those Little Debbie Christmas tree kicks.
Those are good.
Yeah, I mean, that's standard operating procedure in my entire family. So, like with my nephews, and I've got a bunch of them, were young. Junior's mom at the time, they were always at my house, man. I'd come home from work and they'd all be there. And these guys would eat anything that wasn't hit. They could find stuff. And not only did they eat it, Russell, they'd leave an empty box in the freezer. Like it was like a box of ice cream sandwiches.
See, I don't.
And then I'd come
out
of there, they'd have chocolate all over their faces. They'd be sitting there smirking at me.
My wife gets mad at me because I will often leave like just a little bit of milk in the carton. She's like, go ahead and finish it.
Yes, and throw it away so I'll know to get another one.
Well, we've always got plenty. We always have no less that we have a milk open in the fridge upstairs. We always have like three backups.
Nobody wants
no
last swallow.
Well,
milk.
I understand that. But I drink, like, I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to force feed myself more milk or anything else for that matter just so somebody else gets to throw the carton away a little bit earlier.
This is
that's
most,
my position.
I feel like that's a lot of milk.
This does not shock me about you at all. You're kind of inconsiderate at times. You're just going to do things your way, and everybody else can go to hell.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with anybody else.
I'm on
else.
Team I'm Mrs. S on this one. Well, you should swallow it.
You don't get a vote on my fridge procedure. I'm sorry to break this to you, Bear, but your opinion matters.
We'll see about that next time I'm over at Stately Smith Manor.
Just completely ignored.
How much milk did you say you had?
That's what I was thinking.
A lot. Well, I got two.
Those things have
two grown kids. Things,
okay. Yeah, but those things go like those go bad fast.
They not with
you
children.
Get
they
a
don't.
Bunch at
we
a time.
Have we drink a lot of milk in the Smith. It does a body good.
Bones. Big bones,
calcium.
Mm. I remember, like me and my brothers. I mean, that's something else when you find out when you have kids. Like my dad had three. I mean, he was coming home every night after work with a gallon.
I'm a big cereal eater, man. Two bowls a day.
Really?
Two
yeah.
a day.
Yep. Yeah.
What are you hitting
sittings?
On right now?
We had this discussion, but I don't even know what they're called, bro. But I see the box. My wife gets them and replenishes them. It's not super. It's not sugary. It's not health. It's not cardboard, but it's relatively healthy. A little bit of dried fruit in there, some nuts, things like that. And fiber for you.
Like, do you mean you go back for seconds, or you're
no,
saying
no,
like two
I,
different
no,
sittings?
No, I get a I have a bowl for breakfast, okay. And I'll usually have a bowl like that's kind of my before bed snack.
I'm big, big cereal, late night snack cereal guy. I can plow through an entire box.
I don't know about that. I have a bowl, but
of milk.
It's
I don't even.
You know what I'm talking
need,
about, don't you?
No, but I don't even need the bowl of milk. I'll take it straight from the the box.
What are you eating over there, Bear? I want to know this. What kind of cereal is Bear eating an entire box of with half a gallon of milk at midnight?
Oh, Honey Nut Cheerios. That's my go-to.
Of course. Right after the Werther's original.
Yeah.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah. That peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
Real healthy stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
The Wager Meister has weighed in on Twitter. Add it to the list. Bear said he hates new stadiums. That is a direct quote. You said, I hate. So don't try and say I don't hate because you said it.
I hate that.
Here he goes.
This. You want to see this?
Yeah. This is like Sugar Ray Leonard back in the day.
Be quiet. Let me
dancing,
work, sir.
Weaving,
let me work.
Ducking, dodging.
I hate that the times we live in, Russell.
Yeah.
Rick, boys, that people feel this need. And they can't. What I'd really love is instead of tearing down. Because there have been some really historic parks. You'll admit, all kidding aside, we've lost some historic parks. I wish there was a better way rather than building these fancy new stadiums that nobody wants to pay for through these bonds. Basically, we're paying for it for some billionaire. I would rather them update the old stadiums and retain that history of your franchise, man.
But not all of them can
like,
be
like, what would you all
remade.
Do if they built a brand new – like $3 billion stadium over there on the south side of the river and tore Neyland down.
That'll never happen. Stop. Don't stop with your alarmist, the sky is falling mentality. It'll never happen.
I think something like Nissan Stadium is an eyesore that needs to be remade.
Exactly.
I don't think you can,
yep.
I don't think you can rebuild that place. That's disgusting. So I think that there's plenty of places that just aren't historic.
That wasn't his best duck and weave, but... I appreciate the attempt.
I mean, it was very Keanu Reeves,
you
the Matrix.
Spoken
the bullets are flying by.
You haven't spoken in a damn flop. Hour.
Dynamite drop in, Marcus.
It's your first contribution to the show today. Way to go, Marcus.
Stay with us.
I hope
us.
You're concentrating on your top four, buddy.
Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.